Jesus' name to the Lord this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly gave to us upon resurrection. Thank you, Father, for that gift of salvation. Thank you, Father, for that great work. Our hearts are full with gratitude and or with thanksgiving. And we declare and decree this morning as we fellowship in the word, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of liberality and the riches of glory that you've bestowed upon us by the work of your spirit. As truth of God's word is taught, there is no confusion. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. And we declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, so we're going to be looking at leading of the Spirit. And, you know, you can give it any title of your choice. Maybe the next 4 Sundays, leading of the Spirit. How to recognize the inward witness, how to recognize the leading of the Spirit, how to recognize God speaking to me, and how to see, how to grow in, or how to be able to decipher or draw the line between my mind and the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Yeah, so, you know, in a lot of times, as saints, we find people struggle with the leading of the Spirit. You see, there is no believer that is not led. That's the first thing the saint must know. There is no believer that is not led. There is no believer that is not led. You know, we only have believers who struggle with the leading. You know, people struggle with whether it is the Spirit of God or not. Hallelujah. Let me ask this question quickly. How many of you have found yourself in situations where you have a prompting in your heart to do something? Let me see your hands. You found yourself in a confused position, or you had a prompting in your heart to do something. Let me see your hands. Yeah, you've had a knot somewhere in your heart. Now, how many of you have had a nudge to do something, you don't do it, then you see the repercussion a few seconds after? Let me see your hands. Yeah? So, you find yourself in a situation where you have a prompting to do something. And you find yourself in a situation, or you have a prompting not to go a certain way while walking or driving. And a few minutes after, you see that something happened. You see, the difficulty as saints in the leading of the Spirit is being able to recognize when the Spirit is talking and when our hearts or our minds is talking. So you see, so we find ourselves in a situation or a generation right now where people begin to justify their leadings by very interesting things. You know, you see a saint prays in the morning and says, "Father Lord, this morning, as I step out, as I enter into the bus, the first lady to smile at me is my wife." People do that. If you've done that here before, let me see. Not quite necessarily, but something. Let me see your hand. If you've done that before. Don't lie. Yeah? The first guy I see when I sit in that cab, he will sit beside me. If he talks to me, if he smiles at me, that's my husband, that's my boyfriend. When you are sitting in the car, the first guy comes, the smile is not beautiful. That's when you remember the scripture, do it with Harry. Wait for him. He will surely come to pass. Right? But when someone now comes and you like his smile, you appreciate his smile. That is the one. Who led who? You led yourself by yourself, in yourself, through yourself, for yourself. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, sometimes we begin to say, "Oh, if I get this job, that means the Spirit of God wants me to go. If I get this visa, that means the Spirit of God wants me to go. If I get this admission, what's God?" You know, if you ask an average Nigerian, God did not call an average Nigerian to grow up in Nigeria. You know. A lot of you. There are lots of Nigerians that there is no how God is not leading them out of the country. If you're an example, you're left here. and called the nation of the world.
Yeah.
Who is not called the nation of the world? I see myself in the midst of white. Hallelujah. You know, so we find ourselves in the situation. So there's nobody that. So this is the point I'm going to. The believer is not led by opportunities, but by the Spirit of God. Maybe you can say it better. The believer should not be led by opportunities, but be led by the Spirit of God. But we're trying to investigate and analyze what exactly is an explanation given to the leading of the Spirit. How can we recognize being led by the Spirit? How can we recognize when the Spirit is leading us to do certain things? Hallelujah. You know, so some people are led by opportunity. So, for instance, in Nigeria, the availability of jobs and work, jobs and offers of work, work is so limited such that if an average believer that's in Nigeria gets a job, the first thing that comes to his mind is not to pray concerning the job, but to pick the job because of funds. Is that true? Is that true? Why? Because of the state in Nigeria. So imagine someone looking for a job for 6 months. One job just comes. You don't want to pray. Even if you have a prompting not to go into that job, you go into it because of the fund. You know, that's an example of someone. Someone reached out to me and was trying to pick a job offer. You know, and I told the person that, take out some time and pray some more. Take out some time and pray some more concerning this. You know, but you know, there's a way you will pray concerning a job offer. That the only thing you'll be saying, go, my son. The only thing you'll be hearing is, go, my son. It's for you. Prepare for you. Go, my son. You know? Yeah? You know? And I told the person not to pray some more. You know, there's sometimes you tell people to pray some more rather than telling them what you know the Spirit will have them do. Do you understand? Because, so, for instance, you won't come and meet me with your wife that you want to marry, for instance, and I will tell you outrightly. Maybe it's something I will grow into. But it's difficult to hear me say, like, this woman is not for you. Except if I know somewhere, I know that. Hi. But the easiest thing for me to say to this brother is what? Pray some more. So when you hear your pastor say it, or someone that leaves you says, pray some more. My brother, my sister, pray some more. Pray some more. Hallelujah. You know, so I told the person, pray some more. You know, and a few weeks after taking the job, the owner of the company attracted salary and all of that. The person was out of job for a while and attracted salary and all of that. In a few weeks after, all the people in that company were put under EHST investigation, including this person that just joined, because the founder that the boss was into fraudulent activities. Find themselves in situation, if I didn't come out with if I didn't pass this grade, I'm just going to want to pass it. Glory to God. So the believer is not to be led by opportunities. What does that mean? You don't use opportunities to determine the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 So the believer is not to be led. Now I'm trying to emphasize it over and over again so that it's clear somewhere in our hearts, in our heads, that the believer is not to be led by opportunities. Look at neighbor and say, the believer. Look at neighbor, look at neighbor, look at one neighbor. Say, the believer is not to be led by opportunities. The believer is not to be led by circumstances. Hallelujah. So, you don't wake up and say, because the airport did not open today, that means God doesn't want you to fly. Or you don't have an accident, or someone doesn't have, because you don't have an accident and be saying, God is trying to preserve me from a greater evil ahead. You know people that talk like that? Yeah, the people that talk, in fact, I'm sure some of us talk like that. One thing the believer must put in the forefront of his mind is that the faith in God and superstition doesn't go hand in hand. Yeah? Faith in God and superstition doesn't go hand in hand. Say that again. Faith in God, yes, the belief system of the saints and superstition, they don't go hand in hand. What is superstition? What is superstition? Who can give me a brief definition of superstition? 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 Superstition?
Mythologies that have been.
Superstition, don't get that. So, okay, what's mythology?
Belief system.
So, what did you just say? I just say belief systems that. So, what is what are superstition?
Yeah, belief systems that have been held on to from the world perspective over time.
So, is a superstition similar to sacred cows?
Yes, sir.
Kind of, right? Yeah, remember that sacred cows? Sister. Yeah, what is superstition? Do you have a, can you break down belief system? System that believes. So, for instance, your hand is scratching, money is coming.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 You, if you hit your leg on the floor, what is that for?
The left leg.
If you hit your right leg on the floor, mommy should know it. The right leg, if you hit the right leg on the floor, so breakthrough is coming. The left leg. There's something that has to do with somebody who died. You should have the left leg or two of them. So see, it's just a decision. Is this the way it works? You are careless in your walking step, you hit your right leg. Something will come. Why don't you deliberately hit the right leg? Success. We have held on to, you see. It, superstition has been so infused into the church that people cannot even rightly differentiate between what God's word says and what the world says. And say this way, people cannot differentiate between what God's word says and what God's word says. Yeah, the world generally. It has so come into the church that it has infused the way we believe, the way we think, the way we analyze things. The way we scrutinize things, the way we make decisions. You know, there is nobody that doesn't have decisions in front of him or her to make. Is that true? Everybody, at every point in time in life, you have one or two decisions to make. Even leaving church, you have a decision to go and eat at Walmart or go to Chicken Republic or Drumstick. It is your decision to make. Hallelujah. So, what is the meaning of the Spirit? How do we recognize the meaning of the Spirit? Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. See what it says there. It says, study to show thyself as one approved of God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, so Paul, the spiritual father of Timothy, tells him what to have a, remember that word study is what? Yeah, to be eager, to be diligent. So in that same 2 Timothy, look at chapter 4, verse 9. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. What does it say? Do thy diligence. Is that true? Yeah, do thy diligence. Yeah, do thy diligence. So that word there, diligence, is the same word used in 2 Timothy 2:15, which is study. So when Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself as one who is approved of God, what does he mean? Do thy diligence to show thyself as one who is approved of God. He now says a workman. That word there, workman, means a laborer, a toiler, who needed not to be ashamed, rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. So if there is a right way of dividing the word of truth, there should be a wrong way of dividing the word of truth. But in real sense, that word there, rightly dividing, is a single word, right? What does it mean? Carefully handle. Yeah, to carefully bring up. So it's a word usually associated with miners, those that try to bring out precious diamonds and precious jewels from, you know, the midst of dust or rock. So the student of God's word is to have an attitude of carefully handling God's word, just so that he can what? Rightly divide, that is rightly bring out the word of truth. What is the word of truth then? Yeah, the logos of reality. Yeah, the thought pattern of truth. So the word of truth there, that word there, truth, is reality. So the saint is to carefully and diligently approach God's word, so that he doesn't wrongly divide the word of truth. Are we together? You know, so that's why I say it in gospel as we are giving to us proper Bible study. You know why? Because your understanding of scriptures will determine how you approach your daily life. Are we together? Your understanding of scriptures would determine how you approach your daily life. Your understanding of scriptures, in fact, is the fundamental thing of what the saints. That's why you see Jesus upon resurrection. After what? Resurrecting. Yeah, he died, he was crucified, he was resurrected on the third day. What happened? He was teaching for 40 days. Hallelujah. Yeah, he was teaching for 40 days. He was teaching. Why? Because he knows that what he was teaching would go a long way to frame the mindset of these people he was teaching. Look at Matthew 28. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Look at Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He now says, with this power. So when he says all power, it doesn't say every power in the universe. Yeah? That word there, power, is authority. So the authority that is given to him is what he used in verse 19 to say what? Let's read verse 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Remember, what does baptizing them mean? Teaching them, right? Yeah, so we've done a proper explanation to that. So when Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, he's not saying put people into water. When you put them the first time, say in the name of the Father. Bring them out. When you put them the second time, in the name of the Son. When you put it, you know. So what does it mean? Remember, what the saint has is the reputation of the Son. So name of Father, name of Son, name of the Holy Ghost. The only thing we have there, is actually name of what? The Son. Hallelujah. So when it says baptizing them, what is the word they're baptizing there? It means what? To teach. Yeah, look at Mark 16. Look at Mark 16. Hold your hands in Matthew 28 and go to Mark 16. Look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Similar encounter or similar record of the same encounter. Look at Mark 16, verse 15. Are we there? Are we there? Mark 16, 15. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and what? And what? Preach the gospel. Look at what he says in verse 16. He that what? Are we together here? He that what? And is what? So what is the word there? And is baptized. Beautiful. That is? Yeah, so he that believeth, that is baptized. So how does a guy or how does a man or a lady get baptized? By believing. By believing what? The name of the Son. So a man who has believed the work of the Son, that is Christ died, he was buried and he resurrected, and he now lives in the saints, is one who has been baptized. Yet, so he that believes that is baptized is saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So go back to Matthew 28. So when you see, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them will mean what? To indoctrinate them into the work of the Son. That's why verse 29 emphasizes, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Hallelujah. Go to Acts 1 quickly. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 2. Acts 1, 2. So what it says there, it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. Look how it says in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. So, what was Jesus doing for 40 days? Yeah, are we saying? What was Jesus doing for 40 days? So it means that the primary thing for the primary purpose of the church is what to teach. What did Jesus tell Peter? If you love me, what do you do? Feed my flock, feed my sheep. What does it mean to feed my sheep? Teach my sheep. Feed my flock means to teach my flock. So it means that you and I, we are God's flock. So in as much as I'm the mouthpiece in the church today, you are God's flock. You are not my flock. Yet, so Jesus didn't tell Peter, if you love me, teach your flock. What did he say? If you love me, teach my flock. Why? Because it was me that taught them. So in as much as there is authority, there is leadership in the church, and there are a lot of those things, the members of the church are God's flock. So the man that leads God's flock is to be very careful what he does with God's flock. I'll say that again. The man that leads God's flock, the man that serves as a position, serves in the position of authority or leadership amongst brethren, which are God's flock, should make sure that he knows what God would have him do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we together? So, as saints, the same way we teach about the finished work is the same way we teach about the leading of the Spirit. How do you think Philip knew to be in the right position when he would meet the Ethiopian eunuch? It was what? It was led by the Spirit. How do you think Philip knew how to be led by the Spirit? He was what? He was taught. Where was he taught? Don't be scared, don't be scared. Where was he taught? But you said he was taught. That means you know where he was taught. So where was he taught? Acts 1:2-3. So don't you think Philip was in that meeting for 40 days? He was. So Philip was taught how to be led by the Spirit. That was how he knew to be led by the Spirit, to be where the Ethiopian eunuch was. So it means that one of the topics that Jesus must have handled in the 40 days teaching was what? How to be led by the Spirit. Look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14. Are we there? Yes. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. Can we do one more time? 1, 2, 3, go. Now, did your Bible say, for as many as are being led? Check it well. Did your Bible say, for as many as are being led? So it means that the leading that is spoken about in Romans 8, verse 14 is what? A particular leading. Is that true? You know, that word there, led, is the word agio. Agio. A-G-O. Then it's a word that means a one-off translation. What does that mean? From point A to point B. Hallelujah. Yeah? In the being led of God, the believer is being led. Yeah, I'm going to explain that in this series. I'll say that one more time. In the being led of God, in the being led, I will mean in the being, Romans 8, 14. Right? In the being led of God by the believer, in the being led of a believer by God is the being led, or is the ability to be led by the Spirit of God. Do you get that? Okay. Let's say this way. If you look at Colossians, it says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So a good way to write that translation would be, we have been led. Yeah, that word led can better mean to be brought forth. Hallelujah. So we've been brought forth by the Spirit of God. So in the bringing forth of the Spirit of God, which is the leading of the Spirit of God, out of bondage into light, the believer finds leading in that. We'll explain that in this series. Hallelujah. So remember, never forgetting this series and going forward, the believer should not be led by circumstances. The believer is not led by what mishaps or things, dangerous things that happen. You know, it's one of the things we're talking about, superstition. You apply for a job, in your heart you know you're not very qualified. Yeah? But you didn't get the job, and the first thing you say is that God doesn't want me to be there. see, you know, what we call favor, remember, what we call favor as Christians, sometimes we don't like it for others. Let me tell you this way. You studied Odin. You know what Odin is? Yeah, study of flowers. Study Odin. Both of you studied Odin. Three of you studied Odin. Oh no, you studied Odin. You studied chemical engineering. You studied petroleum engineering. Three of them, Odin. No, three of them now applied to NMPC. This one in his own church, his pastor is saying, you shall get that job, you shall get that job, the job is yours. You laid, yeah, you have to see it to have it. So begin to say it. What can you see? You know, God took Abraham and said, as far as you can see, so shall your children be. Or as you can count, so you have to see, then say. So it's see, say, have. Yeah. And I finished preaching good to this, my brother. Yeah, you have to say it. You have to say it. You have to say it. And three of them, she too studied chemical, right? Chemical and you, is it petroleum? Now, she too, she prays very well. And she doesn't pray at all. And they pick her. Who is the first person you assume should not even have applied? Brother Bodu. But he had someone that encouraged him in his application. He doesn't now get the job. The first thing that comes out of his mouth is what? God didn't want me there. They've lost the precious children. You know, we do that for our relationships too. Right. Yeah? Your relationship will not work. You don't make it work. The fact you say is, you've lost the treasure. You've lost the treasure. Are we together?
Yes.
Now, let's reverse the case. My brother, you study Bodnio. If you were the GMQ of NNPC, and somebody brought Bodnio certificates, and somebody brought petroleum engineer certificates, and chemical, who are the two you will even consider? So, can you see? There's a way we can know the kind of prayer not to pray by putting ourselves in the position of people. Let me say it differently. There's a way you can know what you should not wish for. You see, there's a very thin line between being optimistic and being very. Give me a word. And being very fantabulous. Am I saying don't be positive or optimistic about a good job? No. But you don't have to make a big deal out of certain things. Hallelujah. Either you hit your head on the roof and you hit your head back on the ground, there is no money as part of the work that Christ did. See, if you like, put your head in between your leg like Elijah. And pray. Can you miracle happen? Yes. Somebody else can get that miracle you got without spending or breaking his neck. I've seen that picture. Tony Elumelu, right? They showed the picture when he did yoga backwards. Somebody say he has money, he breaks his back. He will fix his back. But if you break your back, you will just go. So we don't need to promise you what God should. You see, people will ask you, so why don't you do? Did you do crossover this year? No. You do crossover service? No. Okay, no, we didn't, right? Yeah. You know why? It's superstition. Yeah. On my birthday morning, the first person that calls me. You know what? 11:59, because calls you that I don't like. Why are you calling me now? Because you are trying to expect one particular, your crush. Why calling me now? I must be awake, I must be awake on 31st of December into the new year. Because I have to cross over and take over in the spirit. You see, it's easy to promise you January 1st. This year you will buy car, this year you will buy things, this year you buy this thing, this year will be full of surprises. The corona not surprise us.
Yes.
business full of surprises. Listen, and there's nothing really wrong in being optimistic about it yet. But don't be superstitious about it. This September, the new popular is ever to remember. It took God 7 days. It took God 7 days to create the end. Yeah, it's going to take God 7 months. Oh, what can you not do? October will come. It's a month of supernatural uplifting. November will come. The God of suddenly. It's about to come. Oh, last minute. No carryover. We know it. 29th, 30th. Why don't you just give God praise for our life today? Some, your mates. That your mates are emotionally like this. Glory to God. You know, I always say something. We always package testimonies to suit the name of the Lord. Want to help you. Five of you want to do a contract. Only you is the Christian. The other one is what we worship from home. The other one you worship Amadioa. The other one is a Muslim. The other one is a evil Abanist. Why do you come to the church and say, praise the Lord? Look at him and say, there is God. What will the Abanist do? You five of you got the same contract though, to do it and share the profit amongst yourself. You don't have to. Look at the pastor, stop washing God. You know what it means to wash? Okay, wine, yes. Yeah, last season, they wine me. Yeah. So stop, look at the pastor, stop whining God. He doesn't need your whining. You don't have to infuse superstition into what? Some things that, yes. See, if you are delivered from something, for instance, should you be thankful? Yes. But remember, you know, I'm always saying something. Yeah, you don't come out and say testimony for it as I was. The point of what I'm saying is this. Fix your heart on the word of God and not on superstitious beliefs. You see, I'm trying to emphasize on that respectfully because it will affect a lot in how you are, on how in how you recognize God's leading. You know, a lot of testimonies we share at the church today. Love is what we share at the church today. They are interesting testimonies. They are interesting testimonies. You know what? But the truth is that. How come we don't have saints that says, this week I was led to go reach out to five people and get them healed. But we have saints that were led to pick purple clothes on pink, no, purple on black. Spirit of God led me to wear this clothes today. Now, take me to. Spirit of God led me to wear suits today and not native. But the Spirit of God throughout your Christian life, I never led you to go and preach the gospel to somebody. Let's stop being superstitious. Stop being superstitious. Stop washing God. Stop whining God. Yeah, I'm trying to lay the foundation of this because this will affect how you recognize the being of the Spirit to a very great extent. Really. So the saint is not to be led by opportunities, but to be led by the Spirit of God. To be led to, but let me lay emphasis on Romans 8, but before then, look at John 3. Oh, okay. What scripture are you now? Romans 8, look at John 3. You see, there is no miracle or no supernatural, no miracle, let me say this way. There is no miracle of things or, you know, that a non-believer doesn't have, that a believer has rather, that a non-believer has not had. Are we together? Yeah. There is no job you are thankful for, there is no house you are thankful for, there is no house, let me say this way, there is no physical material thing that a believer has that he can say only prayer can give him that to. Do you hear what I just said? Now, you can pray from now for the next 40 days and you get a car. But it's only prayer that can give you a car. So it means that every other person that needs to get that car must pray the way you pray. Are we together? So we need to be able to draw the line between the work of ministry and what? The activities of life. there are some fundamental things that are explicitly stated in scriptures that you need to think twice. You don't have to wait to be led before you do. For instance, walking in love. You see, that's why knowledge is very important. Is when she's someone being said something like this, you know people can do tongue interpretation and be saying nonsense in their tongue interpretation. You know why? The degree of effectiveness that you have in the manifestation of the Spirit is the degree of your knowledge. Let me say that again. The degree of effectiveness that you have in the manifestation of the Spirit is the degree of your knowledge. The degree, of the manifestation of the Spirit that you have in your daily life or activities is the degree of your knowledge. What do you understand? Now, you see what he said, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I command all of them in Pronu to fall, the Boko Haram to die. Nobody sends you. You're on your own. I feel one that Boko Haram has been around for 10 years. Have you ever heard in Boko Haram camp, one day they were just walking, their leg just fell, all of them started falling, all of them just died? No! God wants people that are killing to be saved. If they have truth for you, you need to renew your mind. God told us to pray for an enemy, but he didn't give us the miracle. Fall down and die. So if you pray for that and somebody dies, it's not God that killed. Yeah, so the degree of your life. So if you don't understand that God doesn't kill, if that's what I'm going to give some interpretation. And I see and I step out, and God is waiting for you with a knife. Don't want to stay back and go and fast and pray. For he says, when you come out, he will smite you just like the Egyptian. That is the degree of the person's knowledge. You should lay your hands on that teaching again on what was that to do with it in October last year? Concerning spirituals, tongues and interpretation. Tongue interpretation really is just a degree of your knowledge. What would you have the Spirit say is what the Spirit would have you say. Well, based on your knowledge of God's word. Are we together? Look at John 3. Let's sacrifice something. Look at John chapter 3, verse 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at John 3, 1. So what it says then? It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jew. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Is that your Bible? Yes. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So what does it mean to see the kingdom of God? It means to be a partaker of what? The resurrection. Right? He's not saying before you go to heaven, you must do that. You know what is heaven? Heaven is what? Spiritual reality. Yeah. So when he says you must be born again, seek the kingdom of God. Yeah? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's the word there? Seek to desire. So desire to be a partaker of the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Is resurrection. Yeah, figurative for resurrection. Yes, so when you see Acts chapter 2, when it says Jesus began to explain to them, teach concerning or pertaining what? The kingdom of God. I mean, Jesus was teaching about his resurrection. Hallelujah. Yeah, we also went teaching on that. So when it says a man was born again to see the kingdom of God, look at what Nicodemus now said, verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeah, check your Bible for look at verse 5. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So, to see is to enter. How do you see? You see by believing. How do you enter? You enter by believing. So, when it says, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that word they hand is what? Kai, right? Yeah, so that is, or which is. So, that word they hand is explaining what was said before. So, a man was born of water, that is the Spirit. So, water was used as figurative for what? The Spirit. Hallelujah. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. So we see that. So is there anyone that is born again here? Is there anyone that is born again here? Let me see your hands up if you are born again. What does it mean to be born again? To be born of the Spirit. What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? You have the indwelling of the Spirit. Romans 8.
Yeah.
For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God.
Yeah.
So, when you are born again, are you a son of God? When you are born again, are you a son of God? So, if we say as many as have been brought forth by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Is that right? Is that right? So, as many as have been brought forth by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. As many as have been born again, they are the sons of God. As many as have been born of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So, it means that this believer doesn't lack the Spirit. Is that true? Okay, look at John 7. Look at John 7, 37. John chapter 7, John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, so who is saying here? Who is saying here? Yeah, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Are we together? Look at verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Verse 39 explains, but he spake ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, what did Jesus say? If you are thirsty, come and drink. What is the drink that Jesus has to offer? Spirit, right? So, how do you drink of... So, let's say this way. Does God have the water? Does God have the water? What is the water?
Spirit.
So, John 3. For a man to be born again, he must be born of water. So, the agreement to read that way, he must be born of God's water that is born of the Spirit. So, it means that a man who has believed, what has he done? He has drank of God's Spirit. So, it means that a man that has believed has the indwelling of God's Spirit. Look at Ezekiel 38. Look at Ezekiel 38. This is the thing I'm looking for. I meant 36, sorry. Look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. This is a prophecy. Yeah, prophecy. Ahead of Jesus's, you know, work. Look at Ezekiel 36:25. Are we there? Look at what it says. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Who is talking here? Look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel. Who is to say? Ezekiel, right? So we are reading the book of Ezekiel. So who is the prophet in the book of Ezekiel? Prophet Ezekiel, right? So, Prophet Ezekiel, so, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God. So, what was Ezekiel doing? What you call utterance. What was Ezekiel doing? Utterance. So, prophecy, right? So, Ezekiel was prophesying ahead of the work of Christ. Is that true? Is that true? Look at what the prophecy says. Look at verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water on you. If 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 talks about how Scripture that will make us wise unto salvation. Is that true? Is that true? So it means that when we read Ezekiel, we should think of what? Think of what? Salvation. So when you see, I will sprinkle clean water on you, what should come to your mind? Salvation. What did John tell us in John 3? Born of water. That is the Spirit. So when you see water consistently used, yeah, like that, yeah, you need to read in context to see if it's talking about literal water or talking about the water of the Spirit. Are we together? Altogether. So, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. Now, let's see the explanation of sprinkling clean water on you. See what it says? It says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. There said, if I get a Ragolis bottle and begin to sprinkle water on you, right? Will you be saved? Will you be clean? If I take water and I choke, let's say choke, that's too local. And I pierce, and I create a hole. Yeah, and I create the hole, and I begin to move around. Can you be clean? But there's a sprinkling of God's water that will make you clean. Is that true? Okay, look at it again. Look at it again. It says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. Look at what sprinkling clean water is in verse 26. A new heart also will I give you.
What is new heart? A new heart is a new spirit. Is that true? Look at it again. Look at it. A new heart will I give. So when it says sprinkle clean water, what does that mean? I will give you a new heart. When it says I'll give you a new heart, what does that mean? I'll give you a new spirit. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of out of your flesh, and I will give you the heart of flesh. Look at verse 27, explains better. I will put my spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And all together. So it means that there's a new water. What is the new water? What is the sprinkling of that water? It is the giving of the spirit. What is the giving of the spirit? It is what? Being born again. What is being born again? It means to be born of the spirit. What does born of the spirit mean? It means to be born of God's water. What does being born of God's water mean? To have forgiveness of sins. Are we together? Are we together? So when you see God as when she is given as a prophecy, speaking about what? The utterance of the cleansing with water or the sprinkling of water, he is speaking figuratively for what? The work of redemption. The clean of the heart or giving of a new heart, which is what? The cleansing of filthiness, which is what? The giving of the spirit. Did that confuse anybody here? Are we following? Hallelujah. So we see that the saint is full of God. The saint is full of God. Is that true? So there's no saint that lacks the spirit of God. Why? Because what makes you a saint is the spirit of God. Are we together? Are we together? There is no sin. So there is no sin that says, you know, and if you sin, the spirit of God will lead you. God's heart cannot behold iniquity. God's heart cannot stay where iniquity is. Yet he's staying in the womb of the sinner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, so what is God's look at John 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at John chapter 14. John 14 verse 1 to 3. John chapter 14 verse 1 to 3. Look at John 14, 1 to 3. Are we there? Can we together? 1, 2, 3, go. Okay, hold on. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Yeah, who's speaking there? Jesus, right? Yeah. Look at verse 2. Let's read together verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. You know, let's read with, look at this. Listen attentively. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, full stop. Right? So I go to prepare a place for you, another sentence. Right? What does it mean to my Father's house? There are many mansions. Look at verse 2 again. In my Father's house are many mansions. Yeah, can you have mansions in the house? Ideally, Englishically speaking or grammatically speaking, yeah, the word mansion is what if I say, you know how somebody comes to your house and say, this your house is beautiful. There's a way you go to somebody and say, wow, this mansion is beautiful. House and mansion, which one is bigger? Ideally in your mind. They are all buildings really. Yeah? So you know you see mansion, which one is bigger? House or mansion, which one is bigger? Mansion. So can you have something that is bigger into something that is smaller? So can you have many mansions in one house? So you see, that's what Bible study entails. We need to go and look at the nitty-gritty of what was being used, those words that were used. So that word here, mansions, is a Greek word that is monē, and it means what? A dwelling place. That word there, mansions, is a dwelling place. That word there, my Father's house. Yeah, there is no house in heaven. Are we together? It's a very was one of the most interesting analogies I've seen by Christians is saying that when you win souls, they will be completing your house in heaven. It's so ridiculous. You know, I believe that nonsense before, but it's so ridiculous to believe actually. So how did they create the cement there? Okay, who are the laborers there? Angels. How did God get there? How did they create the window?
You know why? See, your knowledge of God's word determines how you see life generally. You are a covetous person. You like big house on earth. There is no how you must sleep and see house in heaven. It's simple. There's no how. I've seen as soon as I've seen, God asked them to take you, disconnect water from my house in Nigeria. You can determine someone's revelation. You can determine where someone comes from based on what they say. Yeah? And God just said, because of that, I'm angry with you. I will disconnect water from your house. I will disconnect like easily. So you can, you see, there's a way you can. So that's why the Bible says, renew your mind. Hallelujah. So there are no houses in whatever you call heaven. What is heaven? Heaven is spiritual reality. What is heaven? What you are saying? Just like heaven on earth, something's moving, something's shouting. What do you mean? I see his glory, just like heaven. What is heaven on earth? What is heaven on earth? You see, people sing songs like he didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. But yet they still tell you that heaven is in one place. What is heaven? Heaven is spiritual reality. So when you say God created the heavens and earth, in as much as you call the sky heaven, that's not God's heaven. If the earth is spherical, people are standing upside down, or gravity is holding. You know the way you are standing and looking up? This is your up, if somebody else is up, because they are standing upside down. So where is their own heaven? Say that hold on for God. But because they told their head is here. You see, it's one of those superstitions. That's why you want to enter an elevator. I don't know.
So my friend, I'm not going to have Jesus.
I'm for it because, okay, you know my law, okay. You know that's what you're saying. I'm going up. It's just superstition. You know, so when it says in my father's house are many mansions, what does that mean? That word there, house, is in my father's household. A better word there is, you know, the word oika is actually a family. In my father's household, there are many dwelling places. What does that mean? It means that God wants to live in so many people. So all of us together collectively, we are God's body. We are God's house. Well, look at it this way. He lives in you, he lives in me. Not quarter, but to the fullest. So the fullness of God these saints can have is not different from the fullness of God you can have. So in my father's household are many mansions. You are a mansion, you are a dwelling place, So it means that there is no believer that lacks what the Spirit of God. Look at this. He says, I want to prepare a place for you.
Look at that again. Look at verse 2. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Full stop. He now says, I go to prepare a place for you. How did he prepare a place for you? See what he says in verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So what is this preparing a place for you? Is this coming? What is this coming? Look at it again. I receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So I go to prepare a place for you, is that he was coming to indwell you. So in believing the gospel, and you have now received God, you have become the sanctuary of God. So the same person saying, Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy. So you have made me a sanctuary, I'm pure and holy. Hallelujah. So it means that if the Spirit of God, in Genesis, when Moses was writing down how the earth was created, what did he say? And God what said? That means God's spirit is a talking spirit. Listen attentively. And God what said? And God what said? You know, in as much as those narratives point to Christ and the church and all those kind of things, it is that Moses was told that particular story, and he used that to write about Christ and the church. So when you see in Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning God created heavens and earth, in as much as the new heaven to be sky and where man is staying. What was he teaching about? Christ and the church. So, but when taking us something carefully, Moses put it to us to know that there was a, you can see. God said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, we're going to continue from here
on Sunday next week. First of all, you know, we've established that there is no believer that lacks the Spirit, number one. The believer is not to be led by opportunities or circumstances, but by the Spirit of God, number two. And number three, what? Yeah, try as much as possible as a saint not to live your life based on superstition.